what happens is so many athletes leave their sport and they pursue things that don't really align with their values. It don't align with their gifts and talents. It doesn't align with their passion. And so, for example, they might just go in an area just for the purpose of making money, right? Like, that could be part of your values, but most of the time, that's not your primary value in the job. But anyway, so you get in this career and now all of a sudden, you're not fulfilled because you went from this high of just doing this thing you love and you were fulfilled. Now, all of a sudden, you're sitting in a cubicle. Nothing wrong with sitting in a cubicle, right? Like, if that's what fulfills you, if that's what gives you life, but you're doing this something now that doesn't connect with you, that's not a good fit for you, and you are unfulfilled. So helping athletes to figure out what fulfills them and how to look for opportunities and career paths in those areas.
Well, it is so amazing to be back with you guys for another episode of After Orange Slices. I know it's been a minute since we did a classic formatted episode. Like I said in my earlier announcement little bit I did, you can go back in your podcast queue, go back and check out most recent episodes, the one right before this, just a couple minutes where I talk and share some life updates with you. I think it's titled Life Updates. Yeah, that's what we're going to say. But yeah, a lot's been going on with me, and I wanted to share that with you guys. You guys are my family. You're my listeners. You are my bread and butter. Like, I would not be able to do this without you. So I encourage you to go and listen to my life update. You'll see what's going on, why we're scaling back, restructuring, doing things the right way to give you the best content. That's important to me. That's why we started this in the first place. This is all for you, the listeners, and I want to know what you have to say. So again, please reach out to me, whether it's on Instagram and a DM. My DMs are always open. An email, you can email me at Bridget@afterorangeslices.com. All that information is in the episode show notes. I just want you to feel comfortable to share your input. And of course, that comes with please leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars if you feel so inclined. But I am so excited to introduce you to today's special guest. Let's get back into it. Jonathan Orr, he is the executive director and founder of Athlete Transition Services. And just like in the name, their team is incredible. They help athletes transition into real life and figure out their path. Jonathan knows firsthand how this goes. He's a former collegiate star, a football player at the University of Wisconsin, and then played a couple seasons in the NFL with the Titans and Raiders. So he does truly know what it's like to jump out of football and just be thrown out into the world with no plan, no guidance, nothing, into that new phase of life. So how do you make that healthy transition? That's truly what this podcast is about. You are more than an athlete, finding yourself off the field. Jonathan's going to take us through it. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to him. Here's Jonathan. Well, I've got Jonathan with me here on the podcast. So great to be talking to you here today. You are doing so much for other athletes, but mostly I just can't wait for you to share your story. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Bridget. I am so happy to be a part of the podcast, and I love what you're doing as well. So I'm very thankful for this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I mean, you are doing so much, like I just mentioned, for other athletes, but I want to know a little bit about how you got into this in the first place. You are a former football player. What was your transition like when you left football?
Bridget, it was rough. I describe it as the most challenging, 2 years of my life. And so even before I get to that, I'll just back up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
back it up.
Like that, Yeah. So that was my my life's goal, right? Was to play in the NFL. Not only play, but I wanted to have a 20-year career like my idol, Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, went to Wisconsin and had some success there and was drafted by the Tennessee Titans in 2006. And you couldn't tell me I wasn't on my way, but after a couple years it was over. And I just wasn't prepared for it, even though I graduated, right, had a degree. But I wasn't prepared for that transition. And it kind of caught me off guard, like it does a lot of athletes. And I'll say this, every athlete knows that one day, like, he or she won't play their sport anymore. But very few are prepared for that internal sort of process of transitioning that you go through as a result of that change that you're dealing with. And so the right. psychological stuff, right, the mental stuff. And so I wasn't prepared for it, struggled for a couple of years. And thank God I was able to sort of navigate through that space and find my way sort of personally and professionally. But then I started noticing that a lot of former athletes, friends, former teammates, men, women across sports were having similar struggles over the next couple of years. And so eventually the idea came to start an organization where we might be able to provide some type of support to help athletes prepare for and then manage that period of their life. So. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So, I mean, the only way that you are able to do this is because you have been through those hard times and you know what it's like to be at the highs of playing at the highest level and then be at these lows of going through, you know, the what's next, the identity crisis. So can you tell us who Jonathan the football player is versus Jonathan the I don't know what the hell I'm doing guy was?
Yeah, a very good question. So Jonathan the football player was sort of had tunnel vision, right? Like everything sort of revolved around like the sport. My sense of self-worth was, and I didn't even realize this as I was playing, right? But my sense of self-worth, value, my self-esteem, it came from what I did. And anytime your identity is wrapped up in what you do, I don't care what it is, right? Football, lawyer, whatever the case is, anytime your identity is wrapped up in it, what you do is performance based. And so it's not stable. It's not a solid foundation for your identity. And so, so that was sort of who I was as a football player. So much of who I was wrapped up into it. All my identity eggs were sort of in this one basket. And so, and then once that sort of that basket was gone, then it was kind of like, you know, who am I? What do I do now? Because again, this thing that my life revolved around was no longer there. So
I think you nailed it right on the head with the tunnel vision, right? Like when you are playing your sport, you can have somebody say so many times to you that it is going to end, or you need to prepare yourself for the next thing. You need to think about whether it's internships or thinking about other passions you have, whatever it may be. But for some reason, well, not for some reason, it's because it is the most important, your sport comes first. I know for me, I always thought that I was going to be prepared because I knew what I wanted to do. I knew. I had a plan, but I didn't know how to put that plan into action. And that was my biggest struggle. Did you feel that way?
Absolutely. I absolutely felt that way. And part of it, like you mentioned, right, in order to compete at the highest level, as a college athlete, right, as a professional athlete, there's a certain amount of time, energy, and effort that you have to put into it, right? Like nobody just happens to wake up and find himself like playing in college, like on scholarship. Like that doesn't just happen. But by the same token, we do ourselves a disservice when we don't sort of have a parallel plan, where we're not working on something else simultaneously as we're working on our athletic goals. And so, it really does come down to sort of that simultaneous sort of planning for your life. And it's difficult, but it has to be done so that as athletes, when they do arrive to that place, whether it's after a 15-year pro career or after college, they're better prepared. Mm-hmm. So,
and sadly, I mean, it is improving, but sadly, there just aren't enough resources in the program, whether it's your college or whether it is your pro team, for these players to ask questions or learn what they need to do to take those next steps. I feel like the people who are the most successful in making the transition are the people who seek outside help. I don't know. Like, I just remember even being in college with the counselors, they were so much more concerned with keeping you eligible, right, to play, and not so much so what's going to happen after you're done playing.
Yes. Yes. Right? I couldn't agree with you more. And I joke, right? Like I graduated almost 14 years ago from Wisconsin. And when I graduated, the only support we had was like academic support. And they tried, right? At the time we had this thing called the huddle where we would meet with our position coach once a week and supposed to talk about life. Like the guy who was just cussing me out at practice, and I was supposed to open up to them, but it was their stab at it. But now I look at a school like Wisconsin, now they have a whole department, right? 6 or 7 people dedicated to the personal development and growth of athletes, which is amazing. But so it has come a long way, but we do have a long way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's insane. I mean, I cannot believe how far it has come in just the last few years. I mean, especially with mental health, just all of the resources that athletes are able to reach out and use now, because also it just felt like if you were thinking about something that wasn't your sport at the time, it also meant like maybe you were weak or you weren't focused. You weren't 100% in the game, right?
Yeah. I have plenty of conversations like that. It was discouraged to some degree. I can remember in high school wanting to get involved in some different things, and it was discouraged, right? Like I've always had a desire and an interest sort of in performing arts, right? Whether it's acting or you know, theater, things like that.
But yeah.
I can remember just being discouraged, like, nah, what are you doing? It's the off season. How come I can't be in a talent show, right? Like, how come I can't sort of explore these other passions that I have? But yeah, it was frowned upon, unfortunately.
Yeah, totally. Or your class schedule, or the class schedule for those certain classes that you want to take for a certain major or for a certain elective, whatever that seems fun and a passion, does not, it conflicts with football meetings or practice or whatever it may be. So obviously, like, you can't do it. I remember my senior year, I finally just said, screw it. Like, I'm an art minor. I'm not going to graduate late. Like, no, I'm definitely, like, I just talked to my weights coach and I just said, you know, we're going to have to figure this out. I'm not graduating late. I have to do this. And, you know, we figured it out. But yeah, no, I remember those tough conversations. It was really just ridiculous. But again, like, I think things have come a long way, especially though, as far as pro athletes, more people now, I feel like, they're at least exploring businesses or ventures outside of what they're doing on the field, you know, every Sunday or every week, whatever it may be. So when you got to the league and you saw all of these guys competing for spots on these rosters that are just, God, it's just insane. What was the number one thing that you found it took to stay in the NFL versus these guys that, you know, just the dream dies and you just aren't able to really cope with not knowing that, you know, it's over?
Yeah. So, like, looking back, like, hindsight is 2020, right?
Yeah.
And so looking back, I think if, for one, a lot of it does have to do with most teams, right? You have teams like the Patriots where regardless of what draft pick you are, like, yeah, if you're the best, you'll play. But then there's some teams where it's more politics. They could have a guy drafted, you know, first, second round, and somebody could come in undrafted. I've seen this, right? That was actually better in a position, but they might not necessarily get opportunity with that team. And so that's part of it. But aside from the politics, it's so important to because everybody's talented, right? So what little things can you do?
Yes.
What little things can you do to set yourself apart, and so you can have a better chance of having longevity? So so one of it is like physically taking care of yourself. Like, you have to take it up a notch, you know, once you get to that level to be able to just remain healthy, right? Like in a couple of years I was in the NFL, like I had like a few injuries that prevented me from practicing a certain amount of time and things like that. So I think taking care of your body is a big one.
Right.
And the second one is understanding, which I didn't do a good job of this, but understanding that it's a business. Like, you no longer in college, it's sort of like a business, but still there's that relationship aspect you have with your coach. It's still, you're still playing, you know, most guys, it's still a lot of passion there, right, for what you do. And not to say it's not the NFL, but you have to learn.
You're not playing for a contract in college.
Yeah. And so, but just learning how to separate like that business and put on both hats, like the athlete hat, but then also the business hat, and understanding, you know, how to survive the business side of it and get things in order on that end as well.
Yeah. I think it's so important to understand that, because when you go into the league, especially if you get drafted so early and all of a sudden, you know, you flop and things just don't work out, it's hard to understand that the league just isn't built for everybody. It is politics. You don't know, like, you might be at a team who just maybe doesn't have enough money to, I don't know, work with your situation or keep you on the practice squad, whatever it may be. And it just depends on everybody's situation. It doesn't mean that you're bad. But I think that's really like where it's mentally challenging. And then once you leave the game, it's kind of like you feel like it's a kick in the face because you know you're talented, you know you're good. But how do you remind yourself of that when you leave the game and kind of say like, hey, I was successful, even though it might not feel like such a positive way to go out?
Yeah. Yeah. And just that question alone, right? Or that comment, it just sparked mm-hmm. so many thoughts, but
that's so common.
It is, right? And one of the things I've learned, right, since looking back, like just measuring, like how we measure success is so different, right, than being an athlete now. You know, everything is like, hey, did you win? Did you lose? But but since then, sort of learning that life is more about necessarily wins and losses. But it's how are you performing, like in your lane? Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? Right, that might look different than this person's. You know, it wasn't my purpose to have a 20-year NFL career.
Right.
But am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Right. And then that's fulfilling and that's success. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you have told yourself, maybe your younger college self, before you entered the league to kind of reframe things and change your mindset as far as what you know now?
Very good question. I would have taking the time to really dive into the other interests that I had, like I kind of mentioned earlier, other things I was interested in. I would have gotten outside of my bubble as well. I primarily hung around my teammates, right? Well, here you are at a university with folks from all over the world, right? With folks from that's get going in all politics to business to just so many different people you're surrounded by. So I would have definitely had just took the time to build better relationships with folks outside of my teammates and explored and took advantage of the resources that I had, right? The from the boosters who were, you know, involved in all sort of business ventures and things like that, to just folks in the community, just would have got plugged in more.
Mm-hmm. So now that you are able to help other athletes transition through what you've been through, taking your old experiences, seeing what they're going through, what's the number one thing that you think athletes struggle with the most when they leave the game?
I do this program called the Next Season Program, helping athletes prepare for the next season of life. And had the opportunity to provide this probably over 35 universities over the last couple of years. And so it's three top things that we address in it. Like, these are the three common challenges that athletes face once they're done playing. Mm-hmm. One is what we call transition ignorance. And so I kind of mentioned this earlier, the fact that every athlete knows there'll be a change one day in their life when they're no longer be an athlete, but very few are aware of the fact that that change is accompanied by a transition.
Yeah.
And a transition is the internal process that you go through as a result of the external change that you're dealing with, right? And so just being aware of that, like knowing that it's psychological things that I'll go through because I'm no longer this thing that's been part of my life for so long, mm-hmm. It's not anymore. And so being prepared to sort of have those battles within yourself. So that's one. The second one has to do with identity issues, right? Like, again, so much of your identity a lot of time has been wrapped up in what you've done. And so understanding that you have to redefine yourself, and that really your identity isn't based on what you do. It has to be based on something more solid. And so helping athletes to rediscover and sort of, or maybe even discover for the first time who they really are, like the, what I call the core identity, like mm-hmm. athlete was part of who you are, but it's not your primary identity. So that's two. And then a third one, I know you just asked for one. I'm sorry.
No, give it. I love it. Yeah.
and then the third one is finding professional fulfillment. And so again, the part of the reason that athletes do what they do is because something about it fulfills them, right? Whether it's the roar of the crowd, whether it's competition, the locker room, the team, something about it fulfills them. But what happens is so many athletes leave their sport and they pursue things that don't really align with their values. It don't align with their gifts and talents. It doesn't align with their passion. And so For example, they might just go in an area just for the purpose of making money, right? Like that could be part of your values, but most of the time that's not your primary value in, in a job. But anyway, so you get in this career and now all of a sudden you're not fulfilled because you went from this high of just doing this thing you love and you were fulfilled. Now all of a sudden you're sitting in a cubicle. Nothing wrong with sitting in a cubicle, right? Like if that's what fulfills you, if that's if that's what gives you life, but you're doing this something now that doesn't connect with you, that's not a good fit for you and you're unfulfilled. So helping athletes to figure out what fulfills them and how to look for opportunities and career paths in those areas.
Right. Would you say that you see a difference between the men that you help versus the women that you help make the transition?
There are. So with those primary sort of challenges, those three I just mentioned, no. I would say those are like pretty common across the board. There are some other sort of subcategories that differences in. For example, a lot of the ladies that we work with, they struggle with like fitness, right?
Yeah,
like,
I knew you were gonna say that,
like once they're done playing, even before they get to that point, like a lot of the seniors that we work with at different universities, they're like the a lot of the female athletes are like, I'm so scared. Like, what if I won't have to work out like I am now. What's going to happen to my body? Right. What's going to happen if I decide to have children? And those are, you know, real conversations that they have that not a lot of guys that we work with have. That's not a concern for a lot of them. So that's one little minor difference. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's important about I think that's important. I think that that's important to talk about anyway, because so many athletes, you know, you're so used to being on a regimented schedule, whether it's practice or weights, whatever. And then all of a sudden, once you're let go and you're kind of free, you know, what do you do? Most people have been told exactly what to do as far as workouts their entire lives. Some people don't even know how to go to a gym by themselves. And it's kind of hilarious and ironic that the most fit people don't even know how to stay fit themselves. And then you see all these athletes who, after they finish competing at an elite level, let themselves go and then go into a downward spiral. But the fitness aspect of it is quite common. And I think we forget that.
Yeah. And you just made me think of something that I see men more so struggle with more so than females is sort of the, I guess you would call it like handling the operations of real life, right? Like
right.
A lot of guys like, man, I got to make my own doctor's appointments now. I got to call I got to make my own dentist appointments. Like how do I go about this? And I've seen a lot of males, including myself, like struggle with that aspect because everything's been done for you for so long. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you have to sort of be an adult all of a sudden. Yeah.
Wow. No, totally. I think a lot of people don't think about that. I mean, it is adulting for the very first time in a sense. Wow. It's like going to college again for the first time. Wow. That is super, super interesting. So as far as where Athlete Transition Services is now, what does the program kind of look like? I know you gave us a little bit of a rundown, but can you tell us maybe in, you know, a few words what it looks like and what you guys do?
Absolutely. So we just hit 6 years old last week. So we're 6 years in, and I guess the easiest way to say it is we provide programs and services to help athletes prepare for their transition into life after sports, as well as manage the transition. So once they're in that space, so we have a series of workshops from transition management stuff to financial literacy, leadership development for pro athletes, college athletes, and now high school athletes, which is pretty exciting. So we can start getting these conversations earlier. And we also provide life coaching services as well for athletes on an individual basis.
I think that that is so important, talking to the high schoolers, because we forget, you know, you think athlete, oh, you know, college pro level. But when kids go to college, you know, most of them have played sports their whole lives, and then all of a sudden they don't really know what to do. I think it's amazing that you're doing that, because you got to get in there early. I mean, that's when their brains are still moldable and they're figuring things out. And I wish that I had had more life skills classes also when I was in high school. Like, I remember taking econ and all these dumb classes that are supposed to be life preparation, you know, and I don't even use them now. I don't even understand anything. But I wish if I learned more of the basics of money management or just how to, you know what I mean? Like the very, very basics of econ, of just like how to function as an adult. If I had learned those things, I feel like I would have been so much better off in life. And especially for all the kids that don't go to college, right? So because it's even becoming more common now, because you can make so much money now in new jobs or just going to community college and getting your 2-year degree. Like there are so many more transitions and paths for people. But I just wish that more people knew that, because I think it is so important to explore that. So I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, I cannot agree with you more. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Well, Jonathan, this has been so great. I will talk to you soon.
Will do. Thank you so much.
What a special episode with such an incredible human being. If you guys loved the episode with Jonathan as much as I did, please go share your thoughts on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us 5 stars if you're feeling it. And please go follow me on Instagram at After Orange Slices. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. Share your thoughts. This is for you. This show is for you. Like I mentioned in my life update, if you didn't go listen to it, please go listen to it. In the episode before this show is for you guys, my audience. I want to know what you want to hear. So please send me a DM, an email. I want to hear what's important to you, and I'll see you next week.